857. I'm reading the very, very bottom, page 857, the article edition. If anyone doesn't have, it's the fast ever come past the shul, the Young Israel of Midwood. You come to the back room, there is a whole collection of this sefer. And you can just take it here in the back room, take it home, have a backup. The Hoyam Asher lo yale me'es mishpachos ha'aretz al Yerushalayim Omer v'Yekiva Omer Torah Hovei Omer Sa'irin b'Pesach Shehu Perek Sa'irin, which is a Perek Sa'irin Kedei Shetestorech Alecha Tzvua, which is just a Perek here means, I guess, like a small portion of barley, so that your grain will be blessed. Hovei Chitim b'Bikurim ba'atzedes. Bring bikurim, bring wheat. That's the shtei halechem. The shtei halechem is chodosh of wheat. The first time we bring wheat in the Beis Hamikdash, the new crop is on Shavuos. The first time we bring the new barley from the new crop is earlier Pesach. Shu perek ilon. Now, I guess perek means it means the time of the year. It's the time of the year. It's the zman. It's the zman of the year. Kadesh yisparcha olecha peros ilon. Okay, bring chitim, have chitim bikurim ba'atzeres, shu perik ilan. Chitim, it's both. It's the zman of peros ilan. Okay, I'm over here for some reason, this chazal is mixing together wheat and first fruits, fruit. It's certainly the time of Yom HaBikurim is the time of the first fruits. What about wheat? Well, we do know that in the Beis HaMikdash, for the very first time, they bring wheat, is brought min HaChodosh, only starting with Shavuos. Whereas the rest of Klal Yisrael can already begin eating wheat on the second day of Pesach. So I'm not sure over here why
it automatically become Yoshan?
Only for ordinary uses, not for korbanos. Let's clarify. In the Beis HaMikdash, everyone knows this is called Chodosh. Chodosh and Yoshan. When on the second day of Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash, they offered a public carbon called the Omer. We count Sviras HaOmer from the bringing of the Omer. The Omer, when they bring the Omer, the moment the Omer is offered, it is now permitted to eat from the new crop, from the new grain that has grown. Thank you very, very much. Of mayor's, I have to say thank you. No, I'm talking about Bikurim, of course. I tell you, thank you very much. You brought me a cup of coffee. Would anyone need a cup of coffee over here watching online? Mayor will send you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
A blazer, l'chaim. I see you also have a cup of coffee there. Okay, so Marcus here now. Now, so let's review very, very simple. On Pesach, on the second day of Pesach, we bring the carbon Omer. The Omer, until the Omer is offered, it is forbidden to derive benefit from the new crop that has grown this past year. You're not allowed to even harvest the new crop. You have to wait until the Omer is offered, and then it is permitted to harvest, to eat, Chodosh, and that includes all types of grains. The carbon itself, though, that is offered on the second day of Pesach to be matir, the Chodosh, is barley, so'irim. However, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, it is still forbidden to bring a mincha, a meal offering, that had of wheat, that is from the new crop. Even though b'medina is just a word which means in the city, which means in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, it is permitted to eat, to eat from the Chodosh, even though it's permitted to be from the Medina, but in the Beis HaMikdash itself, it is still forbidden to bring korbanos from the new crop until Shavuos. And Shavuos, when they bring the Shtei HaLechem, that is the first time the new crop is offered in the Beis HaMikdash as a Karbon Mincha. So here, now, what else do they bring on Shavuos? It's also, it's the Zman of Bikurim. is when every farmer brings to the Beis HaMikdash a basket of fruit from the Shiva Saminim and presents it as a gift to the Kohen and recites the whole Nusach of the Haggadah. See, in the Torah is plagiarism, outright plagiarism. The Torah, they tell you to recite. Where did the Torah get the Nusach of what to recite? They took it from the Haggadah. Mark, you hear what happens? It's plagiarism. When the Torah says in Parash Kisavah, you're supposed to recite a Nusach, Arami Ovidavi. Where did the Torah get this Nusach from? They took it from the Haggadah. Michal doesn't like that joke. In any event,
you laugh in my shul at the basement where they put down Habayat Yilia Friar.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, on all these things it says where it comes from. It says
High Holy Days Prayer. Very, very funny. See, exactly that's what happens, okay? It's just like David HaMelech, plagiarist. David HaMelech. He took the whole Tehillim from the Siddur. Mm-hmm. He opened up the Siddur, just copied what it said in the Siddur and put it in Tehillim. You know, it's like Biden had a very big problem with plagiarism. Some of his speeches were plagiarized. So his advisors told him, you know, we're getting into a lot of trouble. We're caught. They caught us with a smoking gun. They found that the speeches that you're making are just lifted from other great people. So Biden said, listen, have no fear. The only thing to fear is fear itself. His response to plagiarism is more plagiarism. You know, I think Johnny Carson made that joke. There was a clip going around. That was a very, very funny clip. Any event, going back over here to our discussion, there is the perek of Se'orin, and there is the perek of Chitim and the first fruits. The perek of Se'orin is Pesach, and the perek the time of the year of barley is Pesach, and the time of the year of wheat and first fruits is Shavuos, and therefore, that is the time when Hashem says you shall bring special korbanos, and through these special korbanos, you will be blessed. These items will be blessed during the year. It's like a certain Pesach. I'll tell you something very interesting someone told me. This is an incredible thing. When they start, people hear about this, it's going to be a new sensation in Klal Yisrael, this Vart.
Can we get a little louder?
Yes, of course.
Can we get a little louder?
You have to make it a little bit louder here. I'll tell you an example of this idea of the Vart. With the Vart. How about now? Better now?
Yes.
Okay. So listen to this. Vart is a really dangerous vart. It's really not true, the vart, but I'll tell you. But anyway, many people are very troubled regarding shiduchim. Shiduchim. People are tearing out their hair to find shiduchim for their children, their grandchildren. No one is immune. No one is vaccinated from the problems of shidduchim. They're even worse. They're the disease. They're the disease. The parents and the grandparents, they need a vaccine, but the people in shidduchim, they're hopeless. Until they have their own children, and then they'll be the Delta version for them. But in any event, as I shouldn't have said, it's not nice. But in any event. Any event, people are very troubled, and it's no joke. It's really no joke. It's enormous agony. So someone told me this incredible Vart. He says that the only time you ever misfollow for Shaduchim explicitly, in our Siddur Shir, we discussed this, right. The bracha of Re'ei No Ve'onyenu is really clearly a bracha of tefillah for Shaduchim. In the Haggadah you say, Vayar Es Onyenu, Zu Aprishus Der Cheretz Tsar Gidlbanim. In the bracha of Onyenu in the Haggadah, it clearly refers to marriage, children. The purpose of marriage is having children and raising a family. So the bracha of Re'eino V'Onyenu clearly is a prayer directly for Shiduchim and for success in raising good children. There's no question about it. But it doesn't say the word.
You get married, you revoke your
venue. The battle begins. Why are you all laughing so hard here? The people online, the people online aren't laughing at all. That's the chilek. The people online don't laugh from the shidduch jokes. Let's give you an example of this vart. So where is the only place, even though it's really all over our tefillah, but where is the only place where you actually explicitly mention shidduch? And a bris milah. Kishem shenichnas lebris, can you karnes le toira ulechupa ulemasim toivim? So when a person had a bris milah, it's no joke. It's a time, it's an esrotzim, and it's a time for whoever is there to really have intense kavana. It's a shasa koshe. If Chazal instituted that this should be said at this moment in time, obviously, now is the time where you mispallah that Hashem should arrange everything for the next 20 chveis, whatever years there are until the person gets married. Everything should fall into place. Okay, you see sometimes shidduchim, like the boy knows the girl for many years. They grew up together, they know each other. Wow, what a bracha. Amazing. Or someone that you know, you have a neighbor, families know each other. 1, 2, 3. You hear such stories, few and far in between. And the parents will tell you how blessed they are, because sometimes it's not so easy. So you gotta give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a chance. So you can't hold Hashem hostage. You can't wake up one day, okay Hashem, I need something. Now, right now. Excuse me, that's not the way the world works. Things have to be put into motion over a long period of time to make them everything fall into place. So the time that Chazal instituted to be mispalel directly for Shidduchim as the Bris Milah, Kishem Shnichnas the Bris, can you connect to the Chuppah? So now let's take a step back. We have a principle that this is a very well-known segula, and it's I'm from the big anti-segula people, but this type of thing is not really a segula, and you always get a sense, you have a certain feeling. I always have this hergish that when the baby cries at a bris milah, we are advised it's an eser ratzon, and we should be mispalel for choylem, sick people. Because the baby at this moment in time is a choyla. The baby has gone through a surgical procedure, and the baby needs refuah. And being that this surgical procedure was done l'shem shamayim, was done to be machnesim libris, and it's dangerous, people die from bris milah. It's a dangerous procedure. Whatever you're going to say, there's a sakana involved, and we are mispalel for the baby's refuah. So we chaperein, jump in. Other people who need refuah, be mispalel for them. When the baby is crying, recite mizmar vav, refuah, different mizmarim which mention refuah and have in mind for various for cholim that need a refuah. The same exact thing that it's true for refuah is true for shidduchim. When is the best time to daven if an older bachri needs a shidduch, an older girl, a girl needs a shidduch, girl, when? At a bris milah. Because if Chazal instituted this to be the moment of kishem shnichnas lebris kinyikonis ulechopa, that means now is the zman that Hashem is receptive for shidduchim. So just like you're being mispalel for this child, chaperein, come with a telephone book. And this one needs a shidduch, and that one needs a shidduch, and that one needs a shidduch, and that one needs a shidduch. It's a zman misugal for tefillah for shidduchim. I guarantee you $1 million, if kupat ho'ir, kupat ho'ir, you don't get in the mail, kupat ho'ir, $1 million, would go and would put out advertisements and say that Rav Chaim Kanievsky and all the Gedolei Yisrael, they're going to be mispalel for shidduchim for the person that you want at the next bris milah when they say kashem shnichnas lebris can you call this letter ulechopa, and this person's name needs a shidduchim, and this one, they'll rake in millions and millions of dollars. They don't know the vart. That's why they haven't done it yet.
What about
girls? That's for boys. Girls is when they get the shame, a shot, when they get the aliyah, same thing. A girl, they say when a girl gets an when the mishaberach, when they name the girl, that's an esrot sign. They give her the name. The mishaberach, obviously, not mitzvah huivarech es so and so bavur shenolda, whatever the nusach is. V'yikari mazal tov, v'yikari shma b'Yisrael. And then it goes on to say, "Kashem." It says here also. I don't have the nusach on the tip of my tongue. And you misfal a shidduch for her. Okay, so a girl when she gets her name in the nusach hatfila, there's no discrimination. You mention the same exact thing that's an ace rotzen for. So what am I trying to tell you over here? That's a vart. That's a chassidish vart I just told you. But it's really the Gemara. It's really the Gemara we just said. That why is it that on Pesach, when we're makriv, the oimer, which is made from barley, if this is the first time this year we're bringing a carbon from the new crop of barley, it's an ace rotzoin that all of the barley in the world should be blessed. It's not just this amount, this measure of barley that's being offered on the Mizbeach is an offering to Hashem. Once this barley is being presented to Hashem, it opens up a channel in Shemayim that all of the barley of the world should be blessed. And when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to Shavuos, and we bring wheat, the Shtei HaLechem, it opens up a channel in Shemayim that all of the wheat of the world should be blessed. When you bring Bikurim on Shavuos for the first time, go from starting from Shavuos all the way until Sukkos, you open up a channel in Shemayim. The same way I bring the Zayin Minim to the Mizbeach, to the Kohen, all of the Zayin Minim of the world should be blessed. And like I told you about the Bris Milah, when you mispell for a refuah for the child, so that's sacred. When else do you have it in halacha? A surgical procedure which demands a child have refuah. Chazal are very into staying away from danger. Chamira, sakanta, yoiser meisura. But yet the Torah says, I want you to risk your life at a bris milah. One of the big arguments, I told this a long time ago, one of the big arguments years ago, this mayor, even though we some of us really have a very difficult time even saying his name, de Blasio, because of a lot of his policies that are very troublesome, one of the things that he ran on, going back 8 years ago, which he kept his word, he really, you have to give credit where credit is due, is he says, as far as bris milah is concerned, I'm on your side. Bloomberg was very, very against bris milah.
Sure, Jews are the ones who get the most trouble.
Of course, Bloomberg was very, very, if it was up to Bloomberg, there wouldn't be a bris milah altogether. So he can't do that, so what did he do? At least, oh, mitzitza bepeh? I'm gonna use that as a wedge to shut down the whole thing altogether. And he made it extremely, extremely difficult, extremely problematic to do bris milah, period. Because once you're doing bris milah, are you doing mitzitza bepeh? I'm not here talking about mitzitza bepeh. Bloomberg, he came into de Blasio, he came into office on a pledge in order to secure the Jewish vote. Bris milah, do whatever you want. It's in your hands. You want to do mitzitza bepeh? Do. You don't want? Don't. Do whatever you want. I trust you. I let you protect yourself. Now you have to appreciate something. Mitzitza bepeh is dangerous. There's no one's going to tell you that it's not dangerous, especially today's day and age. Maybe years ago it wasn't so dangerous, but today, especially now with Corona, you know, it's dangerous. No one's going to deny. So what is the, now I'm just to tell you, one of the counter arguments of the people who are promote mitzitza bepeh regarding the sakana is, you're right, it's extremely dangerous. But bris milah inherently is dangerous. Alecha, it says in the Bible, Alecha haragnu kol hayom. We every time you subject a child to a bris milah, you're putting the child in mortal danger. Not every child survives bris milah. So how could you do it? How could you do? Even if one child will die, wouldn't that be enough to shut down bris milah globally? Is it really worth the risk even to the life of one child? Many people will argue it's not worth the risk. Well, guess what? The Torah says you don't have a choice. You have to do it, whether you like it or not, even no matter what the risk is. So bris milah, it's frightening, is inherently a procedure that involves sakana. So the argument was, so the argument was, and I don't know if you can say it's not a good, I'm not coming here to tell you if it's good or not. The argument is, if the entire thing is a risk anyway, so you want to add a little more risk that maybe the moel has herpes and the moel did not properly clean his mouth, did not properly take the precautions that are necessary, you're right, it's a risk. But the whole thing anyway is a risk. Once it's a risk, so it's a little bit more of a risk. You fly on an airplane, so every moment you're on the airplane, you're going to stop over. Should you go on, when you go on, what's the most dangerous part of flying on an airplane? The takeoff and the landing. So you have a choice. You can go to Eretz Yisrael with a stopover, or you can go to Eretz Yisrael direct. According to halacha, you should only go straight. You minimize the danger. If you can have a stopover, that's double the risk. So every time a person gets on an airplane, you should be mechuyav pi halacha only to go direct. You're not allowed to go have a stopover because you're putting yourself in an unnecessary risk to save a couple of bucks. Well, the answer is, listen, going on an airplane bichlal is a sakonis nefashis. So once already I'm willing to go through the sakana to go to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael and take off and land, so no, another, we'll have a stopover, it'll save me a couple hundred dollars, it's worth it. So the argument is, whether you'll accept this as valid or not is none of my business, but the argument is that bris milah in and of itself is a sakana. So once it's sakana, so we're gonna add more sakana. If there are people who do want, for whatever reason it may be, they want to do mitzitza bepeh, and they have confidence in their moyel, and they're willing to submit the child, it's a risk. That's right, but bris milah itself is a sakana nefashis. But that's not the point I want to make. Point over here is the child over here with Sakani needs a refuah. And he needs a refuah, we are mespalel. Once we now have an opening of a bakasha for refuah in this holy situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded from us that it be done, that now creates a channel in Shamayim to be mespalel for refuah for everyone who needs refuah. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you do something unique, now it's the very first time we're going to bring the barley. It's the very first time we're going to sanctify the barley for the very first time with the bringing of the Omer. This opens up a channel in Shemayim to sanctify the barley of the entire world. And barley, by the way, is symbolic of animals, animal life, the health of an animal. Barley is a machal of behemoth. It's primarily a food for animals. So animal health. This week's parasha, Tzar Bali Chaim. Lama hikis asoin chazer shalosh pa'amim. The Rambam says the makor for Tzar Bali Chaim is this week's parasha. Why, Bilam, did you hit the donkey three times? What did the donkey do to you? It doesn't deserve you to abuse the donkey. Giving animals good food is important because we need animal life in this world. So when you bring the barley on Pesach, it's a bakasha that all of the animals of this world should feel good. Go to a supermarket, they have an entire section just for animal food. It's amazing. It's probably by now a multi-billion dollar industry, animal food. Pesach, Shavuos, human food consumption. Peiros Ilan, once you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu something unique, and that opens up a channel in Shamayim for all Peiros for the entire world. Let's go further. It's Kideish Yisbaruch Elach next. Havei Nisuch HaMayim B'chag. The same thing is what Hashem says, I want you to pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkos, and this will open up in Shamayim a Koyach of Bracha, a bracha for rain for the entire world. Kadesh is baruch alecha gishamim. Not just when you pour the little amount of water on the mizbeach, once you're being involved in mayim, it opens up a channel of bracha of geshem for the entire world. The Omer Vahoy, what's the source for this? This is the pasuk. This idea that we've just expressed is rooted in what we learned today in this pasuk. The Hoya Asher Lo Yale Meis Mishpachos Haaretz El Yerushalayim El Hishtachmes Lamelech Hashem Tzevakos. Then V'lo Yaleim Yag Goshem. If they're not going to come on Sukkos, Sukkos is the Zman of Geshem. If they're not going to participate in the Bakosha of the Geshem, of the Mayim in the Beis HaMikdash, the Nisuch HaMayim, the Dalid Minim, then they are not going to receive blessing. And likewise, the next pasuk says, V'im Mishpachas Mitzrayim Lo Salem Lo Yvo'o V'lo Yaleihem. And that's, as we let's learn that according to Rashi, if they're not going to participate, then they're not going to get what they need. What do they need? They need the Nilois. Their Mayim is not in the form of Geshem, but their Mayim is in the form of the Nilois. Okay, that concludes this section. One thing that is very interesting, which I don't know the answer to, is we're dealing over here with the non-Jews. The non-Jews are not chayiv in the Zion, are the only chayiv to observe the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach. These are not converts. It's clear as day. These are not full-fledged Jews. Over here, this Chazal and the Pasuk, I mean, from the Pasuk is a bit vague, but Chazal a little bit more explicit. It almost sounds like that the Goyim are required to participate in Nisuch HaMayim and in the mitzvah of the Dalid Minim. What are you talking about?
But the Torah is
not going to change. We have a principle that Lo Yitei Torah Mechulam. It's one of the Ani Mamins from the Rambam.
Well,
nothing's going to change.
That's
right, but the Goy has no connection whatsoever to the Dalid Minim.
Okay.
Rashi quoted the Shmaita Rishonah of Masechta Avodah Zarah where they have a complaint. Nitna Lanu Meirosh. Give us the entire Torah all over again. And so Hashem gives them a sukkah. Sukkah, not right. And then what happens? They reject the sukkah. They're not, so even sukkah they don't accept. The Goyim have no connection whatsoever with the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrit. They have no connection with the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. And here, this Chazal are telling us, bring a Mukar, that if you don't come and participate in this mitzvah, what the festival is all about, and the part of the service of what we do in order to receive blessing from Geshem is to take hold of the Dalad Minim and Nisuch HaMayim, they're going to be cursed. Excuse me, it's not their mitzvah. They have Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. Dalad Minim does not even come near any one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, and certainly not Nisuch HaMayim, which is not even in the Pasuk, it's a Mesorah, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. And here, this Pasuk and this Chazal seem to indicate is, oh, you better come and stand there by Simchas Beis HaShoeva.
It doesn't make it a mitzvah.
What?
It doesn't necessarily make it a feel. It makes it something that...
they should do? It's either...
voluntarily.
Usually it's one or the other. If either you're mitzvah v'yoyseh or you're not mitzvah v'yoyseh. It's something very strange. It's very strange that there should be a complaint against them as to why they are not participating in a specific mitzvah.
It should be obvious that they should see where their
brother
is coming from.
Okay, obviously you have to explain that, but it's strange because it's not their mitzvah. It's not their mitzvah. There's a demand from them to say to observe the Zion mitzvahs. Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yeh lecha avodas gilui arayos, shvichas damim.
We're talking about a new world.
But Chazal, the Ani Mamins tell us, the Rambam says that lo asalavo, there is absolutely no difference. The Torah will not be changed.
Nobody said it did.
But it's not their mitzvah, and yet there's a complaint. How come you're not observing this
mitzvah? I don't believe it is.
All right, let's go to the next topic. Okay, here we go. Pasuk Yutes. Now we start a new topic. Zoyz tiyah hachatas mitzrayim. This will be, the following will be the punishment. This will be the punishment of the Mitzrah. The word of, when we say the word chatas, we're not using the word chatas in its usual sense, at least according to the Mitzudos. We're using the word chatas to mean the punishment. If you look at the Mitzudos Tzion on page 859, he says chatas, written by Mar, gemul chatas. The gemul means the punishment for the sin. The following will be the punishment for the sin of Egypt. What will be the punishment? Now here is the question. Is Pasuk Yutes really connected back to Pasuk Yutes, and now we're starting something new with Pasuk Chaf? Or is Pasuk Yutes a lead into Pasuk Chaf? We broke it up by stopping off the Pasuk Yutches, and now we're starting something new, but then not everyone agrees to that. Some learn that this really is a continuation of what we said before, that if you're not going to come and pay homage to Hashem on Sukkos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cancel your parnasa. You're not going to get your stimulus checks, you're not going to get Social Security, you're not going to be allowed to work, you're going to starve, you're going to lose parnasa if you do not come on Sukkos to show your respect to Hashem. Let's see, Zos, but here it's Zos, the punishment of Egypt, the chatas, and the punishment, kol hagoyim, asher lo yalu, who do not ascend, l'choy gizchag ha-sukah, it's pasuk chaf, b'ayom ron ha'ateh yiyye al mitzilois hasus. And what does it mean? What does it mean, the mitzilois? The bells. Look at the mitzilos siyoin, mitzilos ken yikorei hazogim, shebet savrei hasusim, al ki mikashkishim, u'mashmi'im kol. The bells make noise. We say this in Davin Pesukim Zimra, Halalu b'tziltzalei shema, with a ringing of noise that is heard. So it says here on this day, there will be al metzilas hasus, on the bells of the horse, koidesh lahashem. Now, what do I mean al? We have to see in a moment. Let's just read the pasuk first. V'hoyo hasirois bebeis hashem. The sirois, the big bowls, the silos means the pots. Okay, it's a kedera. Will be like the kedera is usually used for solid foods, for meat. The hoya, it will be hasirois, the pots that are used for the solid foods. The veisasha, they'll be kamiz rokim, will be like the bowls that are used for liquid. What liquid are we referring to? Blood. Lifnei hamizbech. We have to see what that means in a moment. The hayyad will be called seer b'yushlam b'yehuda. Every seer, every pat in Yerushalayim and Yehuda, kodesh lahashem tzevakos. Uvohu kol hazoivchem. All of those who offer sacrifices, the lakhu mehem, they will take from them. Uvishlu vohem, they will cook the meat that is in these bowls. There will no longer be a merchant. Okay, why is Eretz Canaan called Eretz Canaan? What does the word Canaan mean? It means merchants. It was Eretz Yisrael in ancient times was the center of commerce. It was the international world trade center. That's Canaan. That's why it was.
So it was a major port in the trade route because it's the confluence of three continents.
Of the ancient times, this is where all merchants met to engage in trade, commerce. It was the World Trade Center. I'm surprised no one named the Twin Towers.
Canaan.
Okay. That's really what it's. That's this. This is the ancient, the first record of the of
it. Fell down. They said Kananu.
I don't understand.
Nichnu.
Kanan. Okay. Tower. Kanan. Tower one. Kanan. Tower two.
So that's what the Mefarshim say over there.
A merchant.
Yeah.
A merchant. The word Kanan is a very popular interpretation. It means merchants. The land of Kanan, the land of the merchants. We always refer to people by their trade. Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is high tech. It's called silicon. Silicon after the microchips, the material. Silicon Valley. You have on Manhattan. There's the
Seventh Avenue.
The jewelry district.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then there is the, what's the other?
Seventh Avenue, the garment district.
The garment district. There's the garment district, the jewelry district, Silicon Valley. Okay, then there, then Detroit. What's in Detroit? Automobile. Motor City. And then there, every city, every community has a unique niche. And the city is, we're just very brutal in how we name it. I'll give you an example. I know from Zev Smith. He told this to me himself. Zev Smith's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's learning for many, many years in Tarvad Das. He's a very, very, he was very close with Rav Pam, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. And Rav Pam was alive already. He took his shiurim and he wrote them up and he published one or two, maybe even three sefarim, and he called it The Pleasant Way. That was the title of the sefarim. He took the Friday Chumash shiurim and he put it together, The Pleasant Way. Rav Pam passed away, and I don't know why, what, but somehow Art Scroll very much wanted to take over his project. That the subsequent volumes, they're going to publish it, and they have a very powerful reach, and you know, their catalogs, and they do a very high quality work. And I don't know who made the shidduch, but they wanted to take over the project. So he was willing, and he told me certain conditions he made with them. And then, but they said, well, we're going to rename it. We're not going to call it The Pleasant Way. Art School is like very brutal. We're going to call it Rav Pam on the Parsha. When people see in the newspaper, The Pleasant Way, what does that mean? What does that mean? If it says Rav Pam on the Parsha, okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, it's in your face. And we'll put a picture of Rav Pam on the book. This is called marketing. Marketing. What are you trying to sell? You're trying to sell Rav Pam's Torah. So call it Rav Pam on the Parsha and call it, put a picture of him. Rav Meir Zlatowicz said, That is the title. No more The Pleasant Way. Rav Pam on the Parsha and put a big picture of Rav Pam. Rav Meir Zlatowicz, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, said, anyone who said don't judge a book by its cover, never try to sell a book. It's nonsense. Nonsense. It's total nonsense. That's right. You do judge a book. It's in this generation for sure. For sure you judge a book by its cover. There's no doubt about that.
It doesn't sound like a very pleasant way to do business.
Well, that's the real brutal world out there. So when it says Kenan, Kenan means Rav Pam on the Parsha. Kenan means a merchant. This is the city of the merchants. You want to do business? You want to engage in trade? This is where you go. Let's not hide under very, very nice, The Pleasant Way. This is where the merchants go. Pshutu kimashmo. We don't need any descriptions, any poetry. This is Eretz Kenan, the land of the merchants. Vizehu. Just like Silicon Valley says it all, Motor City says it all, the garment district says it all, the jewelry district says it all. Eretz Kenan, Vizehu. And it says in the Mosa Mashiach, it says there will no longer be business. There will no longer be an office where you can get a license to open up a business in Yerushalayim on that time. Yerushalayim is miyuchid for Torah and Avodah, to serve Hashem through learning, through davening. There is there's not a place to make money. You're not going to make money from Torah. Today, you should know Torah is a very big business today. Torah and anything related to Torah is a very big business.
Torah is the best
eschara. Pshuto kimashmoy, okay? It's a business. Today, everything about learning is it's a business. How can you use it to raise money, to make a parnasa. A yeshiva is just a way of making parnasa. You make a yeshiva. Tell me, are people making yeshiva? Are they making yeshiva lahagdil toru lahadira? No way. Not today anymore. It's nothing is wrong. It's what is the alternative? I should become a doctor, a lawyer. I'm not cut out to be a doctor. A lawyer, I don't like lawyers. If I was cut out to be a doctor or a lawyer, I would go for it. I would make a lot more money, have probably a lot less agmas nefesh than going into the Torah business. So what are my skill sets? What am I able to do? I'm able to learn. I'm able to raise money. So I'll open up a yeshiva. Nothing is wrong with it. But don't tell me today that any new yeshiva that someone opens up today is lahagdil Torah lahadir. That, in my worthless opinion, is baloney. When they came to America, and there was they came after World War II in the beginning of the 20th century, people opened up yeshivas mamish, l'shem shemayim, lahagdil Torah ulahadir. What is it going to do with Klal Yisrael? Children are going to public school. Jewish education is down the tubes. There's no hope for Klal Yisrael. So people were moiser nefesh to open up yeshivas mamish, lahagdil Torah ulahadir. Today, Baruch Hashem, Chastei Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, Klal Yisrael is very strong. Baruch Hashem, there are many yeshivas, there are a lot of problems. Okay, the yeshivas, obviously, you hear all the time horror stories where the yeshivas don't want to take children, for all these crazy reasons. I'm not saying the system is good. Okay, and Taka, when you have those type of situations where a person, Taka, tries to open up a new yeshiva in order to help the parents who are suffering because the yeshivas are giving them a hard time, that taka is lahagdil Torah lahadir. That's taka true. That's very, very, you know, very noble. But many of the people who open up new yeshivas, they're not looking to do anyone a favor. They're looking to you to make money. Okay, and it's a business. So if you want to go on a very simple level, v'lo yeh chenani oid b'beis Hashem tzvokas b'yom, who it means, when you go to Yerushalayim, there are no pizza shops, there are no jewelry shops. You're not going to see Hatzarfim all over the place. You're not going to see that. You want to go buy a Leichter? Go to Tel Aviv. Go to Beis Shemesh. Not in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, it is illegal to open up a business. Yerushalayim is Ach Verak Torah. Torah of Yavoida. Which Yerushalayim? What do you mean? There's only one Yerushalayim. What is that going to be? Well, it's not today, that's for sure. It's not today. It wasn't. It says we're talking about after Milchemes Gog u'Magog. We're talking about the end of Zechariah over here. We're not talking about today. We're talking about when Mashiach will come. Well, Mashiach didn't come yet. Mashiach already came.
Well, you had to have food places, you know. You weren't allowed to have factories.
Okay. But this is not today. It's talking about in the Nevuah what's going to be lost. It says over here the seer talking about korbanos. We're talking about with the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. There's going to be korbanos. There's going to be mizrakis of dam and the korbanos. It's going to be a holy city, and part of the holiness of the city is this is not a place of business, not a place of commerce. Amcha Yisrael trichim parnasa. Parnasa. We'll see. You don't believe it could happen, right? I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. It's part of the human condition to make money out of anything, right?
So once you don't have to sell a shekel knife, and someone can sell a silver knife, you know, it's gonna...
You're 100% right. It's something that is hard for us to understand. You understand the beginning of the parak, that Hashem is gonna stand in Harazesim, and the mountain's gonna split, and there's gonna be water coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That you understand. Money? Talking about the human condition, I you're right. You're saying something that is very, very true. It's harder to believe this than it is to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Harazesim. You're right. You're 100% right. But we have to have emunah. We have to have emunah. There will come a day when Yerushalayim will be a city that will be parnasa. It is illegal to have a business in Yerushalayim. The entire city is dedicated for one thing only, to serve Hashem. To serve Hashem. Parnasa. Avad, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. The Rambam says there's no difference between Yemos HaMashiach and today. El Shibud Malchiyos Bilvad. So that means you need to make a living the same way you need to make a living today. Nothing's going to change, but not in Yerushalayim. Not, what, if someone come into shul, they open up a shop here in the shul over here. You're going to allow that? The shul is not a place to have a business. Go outside and have a business.
But that's here. But you know, outside in different cities.
Yeah.
In
the shul?
Yeah. Not in, you know, not next to the Arab.
It's sad. It's sad. People,
no, it's
desperation.
That's where the Jewish people are coming.
It's desperation. Yeah. So it's very sad. There are people who need parnasa People are there, and the rabbanim, they allow it obviously because they need parnasa, and there's no other way. It's very sad. We're in a very desperate situation. People, that's how it is. Ma'aseh b'chol yom. When you're in desperate times, eis la'aseh la'Hashem heferu toirasecha. In times of desperation, we cut corners. We do things that we need to do to survive. That's life. But look, what is the ideal? The ideal is that Yerushalayim is not a place to make money. Making money is wonderful. It's delicious. It is enjoyable, it is necessary, it's a holy endeavor to make an honest living. But not everything has a time and a place. You don't make money on Shabbos. Are you allowed to make money on Shabbos?
So
100%. Of course you make money.
You don't want to have an automotive business there. But
not in Yerushalayim. You're gonna make making money is part of life. It's part of the human condition to make a living, but not in Yerushalayim. On Shabbos, are you allowed to open up your business on Shabbos?
Are people living in Yerushalayim?
Yes.
I don't understand.
On your block, on a residential block in New York City, it's illegal to open up a business, have a store. On a regular street here in Flatbush, if you want to open up a shop, it's illegal.
Because you have the store.
What? Exactly. So it's the same exact thing. And you wish, there are stores, the whole Eretz Yisrael. I don't know exactly. They have deliveries. They have deliveries. That's just like today. You go call them. You go to the store. You go outside. You get on a bus. You go outside. You go buy whatever you need to eat, and you bring it home to your house. I don't understand what the question is. I don't. On your residential block, are there any businesses? Are there any businesses, Mark? On your block, are there any businesses?
You and I both know. They all open up.
In the basement, okay? But let's talk openly. Are there any stores on a residential block in Flatbush? No. Oh, but I need to eat food. I need clothing. So what do? You go to Avenue J. You go to Avenue M. So you live in Yerushalayim. I need food. So you leave the city. It's not such a big walk to leave this. The city is not so big.
You have to have a gas station.
It's not so far to go. The same way there's no store on your residential block, there's no store in Yerushalayim, you have to leave the city. Because Yerushalayim is a sacred makom. That's all it says. It's not so complicated.
Where are we seeing this?
V'lo yekhenani od. There will no longer be a merchant. It's not so complicated here. Oy reves Hashem, let's go further. Okay, let's take a look at the mitzvah study. Pasuk Yutes. He's going back to the previous section. We're describing the magefa. The magefa was where people were standing on their feet and their flesh melt. Limbs fell off their body. Their eyes melted in their sockets. This will be a punishment for what? Gemul chatas Mitzrayim vechatas Ritzon Olam v'zos tia ho'enish hazoish al shel menias hageshem tia gemul chatas kol hagoyim. And likewise, the geshem, the absence of geshem, like the mitzvah is going l'shitosoi. L'shitosoi that in Egypt, they're not going to suffer from the punishment of geshem because they don't need geshem. So instead, he understood what will be their punishment, the magefa. But the other nations of the world that do need Geshem, their punishment will be Geshem. What is it for? Gmul echatas kol agoy masher, a'ala shelo yalu, umilois zois tiye, mash misham shois b'shtayim. It's referring to both Egypt and to the nations of the world. They're going to be punished because they did not come and pay their respect to Hashem. So in other words, according to the Mitzvah study, Pasuk Yutas is really a continuation of the previous Pesukim. We should have gone another part. We should have really read this Pasuk together. It's just a summation. It's a lot of verbosity, repetitious. Pasuk Chaf, Yiyeh Mitzila, now we begin something that's really new. The Mitzila is Hasus. Al Hazogim Hatluyim Besus, Hamikashkishim, Umashmim Kol, Ki ilu yikosev aleim kodesh l'Hashem. Now it says here al. Al literally means upon, but it's not what it means here. Al means concerning. Concerning the bells that are on the horses, they will be dedicated, they will be sanctified. Ki yagd kodesh l'Hashem, ki yagdishu l'Hashem es hazogim hohem mehasusim hanesim, from the dead horses. Now let's take, we discussed this last few days, the contrast between the Bizas Kriyas Yamsuf and the Biza of this Milchemes Goig u'Magog. We made this contrast that in the Yitzias, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam split. The Yam split and it produced dry land. The Yam split and the center was dry. Here, in this Milchemes Goig u'Magog, it's just the opposite. According to at least one opinion, the mountain splits, the dry land splits, and what happens in between the split? Water flows down the center. Okay, there is a direct parallel between Milchemes Goig u'Magog, the end, the Goyel Acharon, versus the Goyel Rishon. Yitzias Mitzrayim culminated with Kriyas Yamsuf, a body of water split. And what was in the center? Uvnei Yisrael holchu b'soch hayom ba'ya bosha. Dry, no moisture. A road, a paved road down the center. Okay, that was the Goyel Rishon, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Goyel Acharon. The Amdu Hashem, Hashem is going to stand on Har HaZeisim, and the land's going to be boka. Same word, Vayibaku Hamayim, it's the same word that's used over here. It says the earth is going to be, it says, I don't remember the exact words, but the same Sherish. But it's going to split, a Bekia. And then what's going to happen in this massive valley, at least according to one opinion, is the trickle of water that comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is going to expand, get larger and larger, and become a massive torrent that's going to go down the splitting of the land. Isn't that amazing? It's just the opposite. Just the opposite. And what's going to happen to our enemies? They're going to be obliterated. And their dead bodies and their dead horses are going to be lying all over the place. What happened at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf? Bnei Yisrael, they took all of the wealth for themselves. Private money. They didn't donate anything to Hashem right away. They took it for themselves. It's only themselves. And in fact, they were so busy taking money, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Oh, Rabbi Isai, the bus is leaving. Get on the bus, or you're gonna be here all alone." He had to force them enough of the money. Let's go to Har Sinai to be makabel the Torah. Here, we don't find that. We don't find we don't know what's gonna happen. I guess bechira. But here we find something different. There is going to be an immediate dedication of the biza, the biza of Milchemes Goig u'Magog to Hashem, which is something that we did not find at Kriyas Yamsuf. Does not say anywhere by Kriyas Yamsuf that immediately they gave the gold and silver as a donation for the community. It was only after the Chet HaEgel, which was a long time after. Because the Chet HaEgel, first you have 50 days until you come, you have 43 days until you come to Har Sinai. And then after Har Sinai, it was another 40 days, was the Chet. And then Moshe went all the way until went up to Shemayim for another 80 days. He came in Yom Kippur. And then Moshe said, "You know what? We're going to build a Mishkan to be mechaper for your sins. Donations. We have opening up a charity." What's it called? We're opening up an online charity page. Everyone should go there. We have GoFundMe page. Everyone, please go to take on your smartphone, go to the GoFundMe page, and pledge what you're going to give. And one guy, I'll give some of the gold and silver that I took for myself from the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. They didn't give it right away. They didn't give it. It took a very long time until they had the idea. They came up with this novel idea, GoFundMe. GoFundMe didn't come around right away. We don't find any donations. There was no Mishkan. The concept of giving donations first began Yom Kippur. a long time. Here it says immediately, we've been well trained. We've been well trained over Galus to give donations. So this is what it says over here in the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah over here says that these bells are going to be dedicated. What about the pots? The pots. From the gold of the bells, they're gonna make pots. Levashel to cook the kadoshim. The yiyu in kei mizohav kumoi hamizrakim. The gold that's being used for the pots will be like the bowls that are used to be makabel the dam of the korbanos. Shalofnei mizbeach shehema mizohav, which is a chiddush because normally you do not use gold to cook. Gold and cooking do not go well. Use copper. Copper. Today, you know what your copper pot costs today? Go on Amazon. Sticker shock. Today, most people can't even afford to have copper. Used to, I met my grandparents, they had copper pots. You know how much they're worth, those old copper pots? It was a hoin raf. Today, go look online what it costs to buy a copper pot. There's nothing like cooking from a copper pot. The heat distribution is amazing. Now, I don't know, how does it work with gold? What would happen if you would cook in a gold pot? What? I don't know. So you have to harden it a little bit. You have to put an alloy to harden it. I have no idea. But it says here, whatever it says, it says that the pots they're going to use for cooking will be made from gold, which is unheard of today and in ancient times. Number one, because first of all, it's too expensive. Number two, does it really work? Is it really advantageous to use gold for cooking? I have no idea. But that's what it says. And what about the bowls they would use to makabel the dam? So that doesn't matter. That always was from, in the good day, it depends. The Chazal said originally it wasn't. When they became wealthy, they saved up. Then the bowls in the Beis HaMikdash that were used for the Kabbalah Saddam were gold and silver. How many bowls were there? 93. It's in the Kinois. Every day they had in the Beis HaMikdash exactly 93 utensils that were used for the service of the day that was necessary for the bare minimum of the korbanos of the tzibur. There were exactly 93. So, and those were originally made from very cheap material. And then when they became wealthy, they purchased gold and silver. And here it says that they're going to have, that it's going to be, that everything is going to be from gold. Pasuk of al hoya kol asir al ki yirbu zifrei shlom mehaboyim leves hamikdash. L'chein kol hasirat asher b'shlam yuvihuda yekodesh u'bikodesh. They're going to be so many korbanos. Every utensil available is going to be conscripted into the service for kodshim. They're going to need every utensil, just like the shulamis. What happened by the shulamis? Drew a parallel when Eliyahu said to her, it was Eliyahu or Elisha, I forgot already. Elisha or Eliyahu, I don't remember. Eliyahu said to the Isha Hashunamis, I don't have any money. I don't have a parnasa. So he says,
Wife of Avadia.
Who's the miracle? Elisha?
So she had, her husband had to borrow money to support the Nevi'im. He borrowed it from the son
of... Who is the Navi? Eliyahu or Elisha?
He borrowed the son of Achav, and came time, she didn't have the money, he died.
So he put it, they said, do you have any bowls? Do you have any oil? Yes, I have one flask of oil.
So Elio was an obvious.
Elio. So the Elio said to her, go and borrow utensils. So she borrowed, and the more you borrow, the more you'll have, because the oil will not stop flowing until you fill up the very last utensil. So borrow as many utensils as you can possibly get your hand on. So it's the same thing, the La'asalavai, every utensil in the world will be needed due to the abundance of the korbanos that are going to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Ordinary person can eat zifrei shlamim. The lachu mehem yichu miasiwei sachem v'yibashim b'mochem mibli she'ela im kidoshim heim. You're not going to even have to ask the question, is this kodesh or choil? any piece of meat that is found in Yerushalayim will automatically be assumed to be shlamim. Ki kulam yukidoshim, v'lo yeh imkein me'atzorech l'shul, you don't have to ask. V'lo yeh chenani oid, there's not going to be a merchant. L'fishim yosho yu ha-givoinim m'b'nei Kanaan choyt ve'yitzim. The givoinim from B'nei Kanaan, they were woodcutters, woodchoppers, v'shovei mayim, and water drawers, l'beis Hashem. Ki chen nisanom Yoshua l'chinom b'vayisah asid lo yeh him oid b'beis ha-mikdash choyt ve'yitzim. Ki gedoylei hu'umos yisnadu liyoyischim choyt ve'yitzim v'shovei mayim v'beis Hashem. It's an amazing thing that he says over here. And now we can, this is another example where we really can appreciate this. What, the way he's learning is as follows. I told you another pshat, which we're going to see in other mefarshim in a moment. I told you the basic pshat of Kanani means it's not a place of business. It's illegal to open up a business. And also the deeper pshat, no one's going to abuse Kodesh anymore to make a business out of Torah. They're not going to make a business out of Torah anymore. But over here, the Mitzudos is a derech pshat, something which is amazing, especially for us living in the 21st century. When it says here, Kenani, he learns derech pshat, it means in the time of the Bayis Sheni, they were in the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, well, this is the Bayis Rishon, sorry, the Bayis Rishon. Where was their plumbing? There was no indoor plumbing. What about energy? How did you turn on the air conditioner? What fueled the air conditioning system in Yerushalayim? Where did the water come from? When you turn the faucet in the Beis HaKnesses, how did the water come out of the faucet? When you turn on the switch, how come the air conditioner? There was no indoor plumbing. There was no electricity. They were Givoinim were Kenanim, who fooled Yehoshua. So what did they do? They went to the well. That's their punishment was, you fooled us. You made believe that you were from far, far away, and you were living in the land, and really we were supposed to kill you, or we were supposed to make some type of an arrangement, and you fooled us, so we can't do what we would have done to you. So you know what? You're going to have to be the ones who every single day go out in far away and bring back buckets of water and pour it into the tank on the roof of the shul. So we turn on the faucet, the water comes out. Like slaves, and you're going to be the one to have to go and bring back coal from far away, go quarry coal and bring on the wheelbarrows into Yerushalayim coal, and in the furnace in the basement you're going to have to shovel in the coal, so when we turn on the lights there's going to be electricity. That's what the Givoinim did in the Bayis Rishon. They were slaves. They were workers, kamat slaves, slave workers. That's what they did in the Bayis Rishon. In the Bayis Sheni, he says, "V'lo yech Kanani." We're not going to need the Givoinim. This is what the Mitzvah David says, because they really don't belong here. The Givoinim are only bidyev. They tricked us, mirma. So instead, we're going to have the Americans. We're going to have the Mexicans. They like this. The Mexicans, they're going to do this. We're going to have the French. We're going to have the Australians, the Russians. They're strong people. The Russians, they're going to be the ones who are going to bring buckets of water and bring in coal to make electricity. That's how the Mitzvah Tavelam Shan the Pasuk. But we living in the 21st century can upgrade what this means according to what he would have said had he lived today. We don't need anyone to bring in bucket loads of water, anyone to bring in wheelbarrows of coal. We live in the modern world. In the modern world, there's technology of where the electricity, they can electricity comes from far away through pipes and through this and through that, and we don't need anyone even to step in the land and contaminate its sanctity. So it's unbelievable. He's saying over here, he's giving a prophecy according to the Mitzvah that only we today in the 21st century could appreciate. Kanani basically means workers that manually provide water and fuel, fire, heat, who like really hard labor. V'loya Kanani oid b'beis Hashem tzvokas b'yamahu. He saw a prophecy. Liyosalovo, the Beis HaMikdash will be high tech. There'll be indoor plumbing, there'll be electricity, Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi. I'm not joking. Wi-Fi. You go to the Kaisel HaMaravi. There's free Wi-Fi by the Kaisel HaMaravi. Free Wi-Fi. And it works pretty good, you should know also. Free Wi-Fi. The whole Coastal Plaza and upstairs. Free Wi-Fi. Look, it's unbelievable. This is what he says the Pshat is. We're not going to need the Givoinim. So instead of the Givoinim, who's going to be the water carriers? The Australians, the Canadians, the Americans. Why not the Canaanim? Because the Canaanim were deceptive. So we're going to replace them with Erlich HaGoyim. Not Krum HaGoyim. Erlich HaGoyim. But we in the 21st century have a much better shot. When you take this approach, it means we don't need them all together. We have solar power, we have nuclear power, we have this power, we have all different forms of technology where we have robots that can do all of these things for us. It's a prophecy. He's giving you a prophecy which only we could appreciate in our time. Okay, we'll stop, we're taking a very short break. And we'll continue in a moment.
The way the story with the woman and the thing was with Elisha, not with
Elisha. Elisha, good, okay, Elisha, Yashukrach. Elisha. Elisha.
Malachim Bez.
Elisha did.